From the News Talk STL studios in St. Louis, it's The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. On tonight's episode, Breaking Bad, Seinfeld, and Friends actor Larry Hankin. And then former St. Louis City Police Sergeant Gary Wiegert. Also, Kirby Newberry, the King of Coffee from DiscountCoffee.com. And the Right Mind Studio band Mitch Murphy and the Murphy Tones. Now, putting the fun in your dysfunctional world, here's your host, Todd Showalter.
Wow, look at this, Joey. It's amazing. I mean, this new location. I mean, I was saying when I was walking in here, I could get rid of the bulletproof vest now. I mean, this is really... And it's clean, too. I told you that a million times. My wife, she's a clean freak. She would love this place. What do you think of it, Joey? Do you like it?
It still smells construction-y. The sawdust is getting caught up in my lungs, and I think I may have to get insurance soon from this job.
But it reminds you of home. I mean, that's what I like. I mean, you know, asbestos and all that other good stuff that they don't have here. But, you know, anything that just gets into your lungs and kind of makes you want to cough. I mean, that's what I like.
I love the smell of caulk in the morning.
Oh, I do, too. But this is very nice. I can't believe how, and everybody just seems so much more clean and professional now. It used to, I mean, nothing against the grit, but I mean that downtown atmosphere and everything, it was downright scary. And this, it's enlightening, I tell you.
Wow. We just missed the Christmas season down at Union Station, where we could have gone out and made snow needle angels just lay there. And
that's,
you know,
right. That's right.
That, write our name in the snow with RP on top of someone else's P.
Well, you were talking about the Polar Express that we're not near anymore, but wasn't there some kind of mishap that the kids were going down there with their families, and there's like hypodermic needles and a bunch of stuff in the street? Or they got the full St. Louis experience, I understand.
Yeah, there used to be this investigative reporter in St. Louis named Chris Nagus. I think he got promoted to Kansas City.
Oh, yes.
And for some reason, he came back, maybe to see family.
Sure.
And he took his kids on the Polar Express, and he was filming as an investigative reporter would
do. Absolutely.
And he was just showing the route that they take, which is along the riverfront on the North City side, the bad side.
Oh, yeah.
The route they take.
Well, the kids love that.
The kids love it. And there was just piles of trash and needles everywhere.
Right.
And it went a little viral. Last I checked, it had like 500,000 views and, you know, 500 likes. And this Chris Nagus guy is really starting up a storm with the Polar Express. I hope they don't lose a ton of money.
I think that's a whole nother perk. You know, I bet you a lot of the other holiday, you know, excursions here in St. Louis don't offer that. I mean, that's something new. I mean, I like it, actually. And if I feel like getting that gritty atmosphere again, I guess I'll go down there and, you know, ride the Polar Express. Yeah, I guess it is officially now the holiday season, isn't it? Because, you know, we made it past Thanksgiving. I hope you had a good time. And now we are in the holiday season, whether we want it to be or not. Are you ready for the holidays, Joey?
Well, what I did was, did I already say this story? Who cares?
It doesn't matter. I forget everything. Go ahead.
The entire season during the Cardinals, we had season tickets.
Right.
And I would scoop them up from the big boss man, and I would go to each game where they gave out a T-shirt or a hat or a fanny pack. And that's what everyone's getting for Christmas. So my Christmas shopping has been done all season long, and all it took me was a few parking tickets in front of the stadium.
I'll be darned. That is amazing. And that's what I like about you, because, you know, you're frugal like I am. What I do is I give everybody batteries and paper clips. You know why? Because you can use those things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't. Plus, sometimes, I mean, they're not even, you know, brand new batteries. I mean, but they don't know that till they get home. But that's what I have. So I got to go out to the dollar store and get those. But then my shopping will be done. But you want to hear what I do for the holidays? This works every single time. And I really recommend it to you too, Joey. I mean, even though you have your T-shirts, I make a mental note when everybody's gathered around and they're opening presents. You know, somebody will open my paper clips or whatnot, and they'll throw them to the side. But then somebody will open something extravagant, you know, like, oh, well, look at this. It's like a brand new 40 billion inch television or something. And they're excited. And that person, you know, I mean, I get probably 24 hours later, if not sooner, forgot who actually gave them what. Okay, at least in my family. So then what I do is, like, a month later, they forgot that I gave them the paper clips. And I say, hey, how you enjoying that 700-inch television I gave you? And they said, oh, that's right, you gave that to me. Oh, I'm loving it. So they always think I'm a great gift giver because they all have bad memories. Yeah, that's anyway. Do you put up the Christmas light? Have you put up your Christmas lights in your tree yet?
Not since I got a cat.
Oh, yeah, you have a cat?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know you had a cat.
Cats love
destroying Christmas trees. So now we're too scared.
Oh, I know. Does your cat use a litter box? I'm not going to get too graphic here because this is a holiday show now, apparently. But does your cat use a litter box?
We have a well-trained cat. He was a street rat cat that we just found on the street. And we only need one litter box. There's stupid people I meet in my life that have to have five litter boxes for their dumb cats.
Right.
Those people are bad parents.
Oh, yeah, and they still don't use them. Ed, our cat. We have Ed the cat, okay? Mm-hmm. And he's one of these tuxedo cats. And it's like, oh, and he looks like a nice, and everybody says, you know.
Gentleman.
Oh, he is. He's such a nice looking. And he does that thing to you. Look at my hand. Everybody that's listening to the radio cannot see it, but Ed the cat, he ripped into my hand because you try to be nice and you reach down and pet him. Oh, hi, Ed. And like that, and he'll bite you and stuff like that. It's really sweet. But he doesn't use a litter box very often. I mean, so your cat does.
My cat does. My grandparents' cat does not. It makes me wonder if he's allergic to his own poop or something.
It could be. I think I am too. But the thing is, it's one of the perks of having a cat. The cats are supposed to know from birth, you know, that they're supposed to use the litter box. I think that's why people get cats, because they don't have to worry about potty training them. But Ed the cat, he doesn't do that.
The one thing going for them, and if they don't get that right, you just say, all right, you're getting declawed, and now you're going to be an outside cat.
You can't do that anymore. We had Ed declawed, because they basically cut your fingers off. That's what they do.
Yeah, first knuckle.
I imagine if they did that to people. I mean, they look like they were walking around with oven mitts on their hands, but it'd just be their hands.
Stop you from picking your nose. Couldn't even get it up there.
How would you do that, actually? I guess you could pull hot things out of the oven without burning your fingers, because you wouldn't have any fingers left, would you?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Ed had his fingers cut off. And so he's now, but what he does, even though he has no fingers left and he has like oven mitts for hands or paws or whatever they call them, he lays on his back and he claws you with his feet. Isn't that something? He really does do
that.
He's
learned to murder in many different ways. You take away one way and he goes the other way. We're going to file down his teeth next.
Oh, yes. Yeah, this really is something. And you spoke about Christmas trees. He jumps up into the Christmas tree. He climbs up it and, you know, he sits. He goes up there and that's where he goes to the bathroom.
This electrical wire tastes great. Let's see what happens. We got a hairless cat now. They're worth more.
A hair lip cat?
Hairless.
Oh, hairless. Oh,
he electrocuted himself by biting on the Christmas.
I gotta watch myself. You know, I gotta make sure I don't make anybody else mad here at the new location and all. I'm gonna mention it again. This place is just so clean and nice. I mean, now, how long have we been here?
What do you mean? This specific building?
Yeah.
We started moving in like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
I guess if you count moving in, you know, construction materials
and
screws and stuff. But it's still not even built yet.
What else has to be done?
Well, as you can see, we're in the main studio right now, and there's not even a single computer or button.
We're
just recording this on our phones because it was a quiet room.
I thought we always did that, didn't we?
No, the other place we used to...
Why?
Walkie-talkies.
Oh,
I see.
Well, Larry's here, and Katie's here, and Tony's here, and it's like the whole gang is here now. I mean, do they all live here now except for me?
I don't think we have the occupancy permit for showering and sleeping here, so don't tell anyone.
Oh,
I wouldn't broadcast
that.
But yes,
that.
They do sleep here, so they can get here on time.
There's a refrigerator here and everything. It's very quite impressive, I must say.
We kept the box, and that's now a fort.
I love
where Larry
that.
Sleeps.
That was one of Larry sleeps in there.
Yeah, in the refrigerator.
I knew
box.
It. Does he play poker in there? Yeah,
of course.
Probably.
He knows how to hold them.
Yeah. Oh, he knows how to.
And
hold
his blankets.
Them, sure.
He knows how to fold them.
He knows. He does know how.
Cleans
to fold
up after he wakes up from his 5 a.m. little nap.
Unlike Ed. Yes. On the line with me now, you've seen him on Breaking Bad, Seinfeld, Friends. He's got a new book out called That Guy, my buddy Larry Hankin. How you doing, Larry? How have you been?
Well, I'm doing fine after a month in the hospital.
Why did, because
I'm
you,
perfect now.
Well, that's right, because you said you've been kind of out of the loop for a month, so I didn't realize you were in the hospital.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if there's anything you want to talk about.
I wanted to get my hip fixed. It was making me limp, so I went into that. So everything is fine, and I'm walking around, and it doesn't make me limp anymore, so I'm cool. It turns out I'm a healer. I mean, I didn't.
You're
know
a healer?
That.
Okay, like a spiritual healer?
I'm a healer. No, I mean, I heal fast.
Oh, okay.
What's going on. Here's the weird thing. There was absolutely no pain at all the entire time. I mean, from the time I went into the hospital to the time to right now.
Are you sure you had it done?
The whole thing was very strange.
What? Wow. Okay. Well, you know, one of the things we were going to talk about, and because and we've talked on several other shows, but you've played so many roles. You've been on Breaking Bad. You've been on Seinfeld. You've been on Friends. And for the new audience that we have here, I mean, a lot of times, you know, people say, oh, I know that guy, but I can't remember his name. So what did you do? You decided, I'm going to write a book. And so you did that, and you called it That Guy.
Well, it was kind of, you don't have the right order. I mean, everybody was calling me that guy, and I thought, that's a great title for a book.
Oh, okay.
So
well,
I wrote the book.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, I was, you know, it's, I tried to get the gist of it, you know, but that, you just called that guy.
Yeah, no.
It's a great guy. I mean, because originally, weren't we going to say we were discussing, we were going to call it the Todd Showalter story, and you said, no, it's about me, and we said that guy, right? That's a joke. I'm kidding.
So I just started to write it, and it just kept on going. I mean, I wasn't, until I got about a quarter of the way into the book, I wasn't really serious about it. I was just, well, you know, what'll I write about now? Because it was about my career, you know, so I could... It was very easy to write because I just went by the calendar. You know, well, what did I do first and then what happened after that?
But, I mean, you started out way back. I mean, you got a degree as a, what was it, an industrial engineer, and you were in Detroit?
Industrial designer, yeah.
Designer, industrial designer. And then what? And then you became, you started doing like improv. You were with the community in San Francisco.
I never planned anything. I never wanted to end up, you know, talking on the phone to Todd. I never.
Well, a lot of people don't. You're not alone. Usually they're like, hang up. He's on the phone again. I get that from relatives.
So I went to college because I didn't want to go to college. I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to hang out. That was my one big dream.
Right.
When I grow up, I want to hang out. But my parents wanted me to go to college, and I didn't want to go to college. So I went to college as an industrial designer because I wanted to go to art school, and they didn't want me to go to art school. So I thought industrial design. I saw design, the word design.
Sure.
I thought, well, that's close to art. It's just engineering, really, with drawing the products that you design. You know, so it's
sure.
Engineering, really. And I hated it. I didn't hate it, but because I was drawing, and I really got off on the drawing part. Even if it was drawing a car.
How did the showbiz come about then?
I graduated. I had no idea about what I wanted to do once I got out of college, because I knew I didn't want to be an industrial designer. I was just doing it for my parents. Mm-hmm. And I had nothing else to do. I mean, I had no dreams or anything. So I got the degree, and then my best friend in college at Syracuse was Carl Gottlieb, who wrote Jaws and a lot of movies.
That's right.
So, after we got out. And he was in the theater department at Syracuse. So I was hanging around with him, and then I got into a couple of plays. Just because I was hanging around with him and, you know, and, well, what he's doing is fun, you know, doing plays and stuff. And then he on graduation, they graduated at the same time. He said, you know, where are you going? What are you going to do now? And I said, I don't know, man. I'm not going to be an industrial designer. I haven't told my parents that yet, but I'm not going to do it. Where are you going? And he said, I'm going to Greenwich Village. I want to be a writer. I'm going to write movies. So I said, well, you want a roommate? I mean, I'll go with you because we're friends, but I don't know what I want to do. I'll go to Greenwich Village. Sounds like fun.
Sure.
It was the early 60s, and everybody in Greenwich Village was a folk singer, and a couple of guys were stand-up comedians. But it was stand-up comedians, just men, no women stand-up comedians yet. So I just said, well, I'll do this. You know, I would sit in the coffee house. How I paid the rent was I cleaned up bars at night. I worked in a bar, and I cleaned it up from 2 a.m., last call until the chefs came in at 6 in the morning. It was like a bar and grill. So I cleaned the bar, you know, peanut shells and stuff, straighten up the chairs, you know, for like 4 hours, and I got paid, and that was my job. But I had the whole night free until 2 a.m. So I hung out in the coffee houses, and I saw all these folk singers and stand-up comedians. I couldn't sing. I didn't want to sing. So I thought, well, I'd stand-up comedian. I'll do that. I was a funny guy in high school, so I thought I could do it.
You're still a funny
guy.
So
I did it, and it was kind of hard. It was a learning curve, but I I guess I had a funny bone in me because I caught on real quick.
Okay.
And within 6 months, I was opening for Woody Allen.
Wow, I didn't realize that. So you were opening for Woody Allen?
Oh, yeah, I opened it for him. That was my first job, was opening for Woody Allen. And his manager, who was my manager, who discovered me,
uh-huh.
you know, he came up to me in a coffee house, and this guy, this man, this gentleman, he was in a suit, white hair and stuff, and he said, you have a manager, an agent? Do you have any representation? And I go, no, I just come off the stage from, you know, the coffee house. And he goes, well, how would you like one? And I said, well, that's why we're all here. It's not
right.
to be rich or famous. It's to get representation. That was really the thing. So he said, well, you got one. If you want one, I'll be your manager. And I didn't know who he was, but he said, manager, representation. I said, okay, yeah, let's do it. Okay, fine. So he said, okay, and he gives me his card. And he said, okay, you got a manager. If anybody asks you, this is who I am. His name was Jack Rollins, and I didn't know who that was. But it turned out to be Woody Allen's manager. And
wow, okay.
I didn't know that until I, you know, that night or a couple of nights later when we were sitting around having beers after a show in coffee houses. And I went to a bar and, you know, hung out with all the other guys and girls and somebody said, you know, hey, well, anybody got a manager, agent? Anybody got a representation? You know, they were just fishing for a name to go call. I said, well, me, I do. I have a, you know, so that was bragging rights. And when I said, well, you know, who they said, you know, well, who is it? And I said, I don't know, a guy named Jack Rollins. And they all go, Jack Rollins, wow. And they didn't know what the hell they were talking about or why they went, wow. And he said, that's Woody Allen's manager. And I said, it is? And he goes, yeah. So I said, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. And they said, yeah. So I got a call from my manager, Jack Rollins, about a week later. And he said, I just booked you in a nightclub, which I didn't even know about that. I mean, I never thought about it. So I'll be in coffee houses for the rest of my life. I mean, I didn't think ahead. I just thought about tomorrow, and that was it. I was opening for Woody, really. I mean, I toured with him. And every once in a while, he booked me with somebody else. Until finally, what happened was, and this is where the reality started to hit, was I started to see that Woody would kill. I would open up first, and I would do well, and he would do well. But then I started, you know, and after about 6 months of just doing nightclubs with him, for him, I started to see that he was getting bigger laughs and I was getting less laughs until finally I hardly wasn't getting any laughs at all, doing the same material I'd always been doing. And Jack said, yeah, so I complained to Jack. I said, well, Woody's getting, he's killing, but I'm not getting much laughs at all. I mean, it's like, I'm not there. And he goes, yeah, yeah. Well, okay. You finally hit the wall. Okay. Woody's audience is not your audience, and you're just about to find that out, or you're finding that out. Every comedian has to find his own audience, you know. I mean, like everybody else, anybody sure. else in show business, you got to find your audience,
whether it's music or
so
comedy or any of them. Right.
So he started booking me with other people, you know, other acts that were kind of my speed. You know, so then I was seeing my kind of comedians who were opening for other nightclub acts,
mm-hmm.
You know, like Carlin and Pryor and those kind of people. You know, Lenny Bruce was my funny guy. I mean,
sure,
I looked up
you're
to
right.
Lenny. And finally, I called Jack Rollins and said, look, man, they're throwing bottles at me. They're coming to tell me to get off the stage. I'm having police come in, you know, because I was saying bad words on the stage, you know, like Carlin and stuff. And so, and you know, like Lenny. So he said, well, join Second City. You know, they're doing the same stuff, but they own the theater, so the cops can't come in. So that's what I did. I joined Second City. I auditioned and did that. And then from that, five of us left to do the committee, and that was in San Francisco, and that was right above, you know, a plane ride hop from Hollywood, and that's how I got into TV.
Okay.
The casting people would fly up to San Francisco, not to Chicago and Second City, which is where I started from, but because it was just too far and too expensive. But San Francisco is just like an hour's flight, flight. They could fly back on a night flight and sleep in their own beds. I mean, if they wanted to, just see the show. And we were a big hit. We had lines around the block. So we were all being cast to go down to Hollywood. And eventually the money was so big down there that they would cast our original company, which had lines around the block, until finally we didn't start coming back. We just stayed down there, one at a time. You know, we'd lose him, we'd lose him, we'd lose her, we'd lose her. And then finally, I was the last one to go because I didn't want to go down there. I thought it was all face acting. I put it all down. I wanted to be on a stage, where you can get instant, feedback. So, but the money was so good, I too went down there and never went back.
What was your first film? I mean, was it Escape from Alcatraz? I mean, was that how you broke in?
Oh, no. Well, yeah, the first... Well, no, I mean, like San Francisco had its own film company. As a matter of fact, the pornographic movie capital of the United States was in San Francisco, out in the valley.
Now, did you do any of those?
Yeah, I mean, not naked. I never took my clothes off. I was the comic relief.
Oh,
I got to tell you one fact I learned. Nobody goes to a pornographic movie to laugh.
No, I didn't.
So it was a waste of, they stopped calling it because I did about four.
So now
funny parts.
You are the comic relief in pornographic movies. Now this is a nugget that I don't think you've shared with me before. Now that's wow. I didn't know that.
Oh, well no, you never asked me. Nobody ever, I bring it up. Nobody ever asked me.
That's a good point.
But yeah. I mean, I don't, I didn't think it was any different than any other part of show business because I didn't take my clothes off. I just went. It was a film, and I did a funny stuff.
Yeah.
And, when I left, they either everybody had taken their clothes off already before I got there, or they were about to take their clothes off after I left. I mean, what I did had nothing to do with pornography. But I did find out, and finally I stopped doing it because I would go see the movie, and it was pornographic, but when I came on, nobody in the audience wearing a raincoat or anything, would laugh. I mean, they just sat there and they looked around like, why am I here? This is not pornographic. What's going on? So, I mean, I would sit in the back and watch the audience and to my performance on the screen, and they would look around, they would start, their concentration was broken,
absolutely,
people in the audience, the males, it was mainly male audiences,
right?
They would just start looking around, they would go, what's going on, is this a funny movie? The confusion was very funny to me sitting in the back.
Right, and you played so many different different episodes, different shows, and different films.
Yeah.
What do you think the longevity? Don't you think because you play character roles? Don't you think there's more longevity in that?
But I did that because of my dyslexia, and that was my choice. That was me, not Hollywood.
I didn't know that. Okay.
I started to get. I'm dyslexic.
Okay.
And I have an ADHD. Now a lot of actors down there. A lot of actors are dyslexic or ADHD. It seems to be something that would help actors, performance, wanting to be the center of attention, being loud, being actor, just me, that
sure.
kind of thing.
Right.
Concentration. But one of the things about dyslexia is it affects ADHD and dyslexia affect different people different ways. It's not really curable. It's they have workarounds. You can ignore it. You can't cure it, but you can ignore it. You can work around it. You can, like with me, dyslexia prevented me from learning lines easily. It's very difficult for me to memorize things. Okay. Except if I write it myself. That's really interesting. If I write it myself, I can memorize it. Well, it takes me a long time, but I do it. But
sure.
So one of the rules I had in Hollywood was Larry gets the script first, or as soon as possible, so that I would have enough lag time to memorize it. So it never bothered me on the set, because I always came prepared, because I always got the script early enough for me to, you know, force feed the lines and get it down before I went in to do the shot. But then I started getting more and more famous, and the parts getting bigger and bigger, and there was not enough lag time for the big enough part for the big part for me to get it down before I had to shoot it. So that didn't work anymore. So I just refused the parts.
Okay.
So I just turned down the part, you know. So that made me a character actor, because I couldn't take any more co-starring roles or starring roles. The parts were just too big. I couldn't memorize them.
Okay, and in the meantime...
Oh, and just one more thing.
Sure, absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm writing right now. My next writing thing is a one-man show where I'll just tell stories like what's in the book or
okay.
other stories that I've written.
So it's almost like a sequel,
but
different.
On stage.
Gotcha. So, well, my friend, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I look forward to the next time.
Okay.
And I hope you have a great holiday season. And, for people out there that are, you know, getting ready to do their shopping for the holidays, I urge you to...
Oh, it'll be a great book.
Oh, it
is.
Well,
gift.
Well, it is. It's a perfect gift. It's a great book. It's called That Guy by Larry Henkin.
Right.
You can get it on Amazon. And in the meantime, I look forward to having you back on and hearing about all your, you know, exciting things aside from doing comedy and pornos. Okay?
Okay, cool. All right. Thanks a lot, Todd.
Thank you, Larry.
It.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. In the meantime, though, I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V. You're listening to The Right Mind Show. We got a lot more. We'll be right back.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, former police sergeant Gary Wiegert talks about why St. Louis suffers when the police don't feel supported. Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL. And now a man who will take gardening shears to your Christmas lights if you try to put them up before Thanksgiving, Todd Showalter.
And we're back. I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V. Mitch in the background on The Right Mind Show. And on the phone with me now is a frequent guest. He's a former city of St. Louis, police sergeant Gary Wiegert. How you doing, Gary?
Hey, I'm very good. I'm glad to be on.
I'm fluxamuxton. I got my words all backwards, so I'm sorry about that. And that's a word that I just kind of made up, if you want to know. But one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, we got the mayor that's decided that you can't have open carry in St. Louis anymore. What, as a former police officer, what do you think about this whole thing?
Well, you know, it's because I look at it as a police officer, but I also look at it as the law. So I don't know how you enforce a law that the state says you can do. You can carry the gun,
right?
So I guess the city's going to go ahead and change that. I guess now there is a bad optic, especially in the city of St. Louis, with people openly walking around with guns.
Yeah.
But what I really feel sorry for is the police, because you got a guy with a gun who might be doing suspicious. If you do approach them, and you do shoot them, they're going to be protesting you all over the city. Your name will be all over the news. They'll be protesting out in front of your house. I mean, the city says they want to enforce it, but who are they going to get to enforce it? The police? Because if the police shoot someone, because if you're a policeman, how do you even approach someone with a gun? You have to order them to drop that gun, or you're going to shoot them, and then there'll be resistance.
Right.
And then you shoot them.
Oh, we were talking earlier. Who thinks this is really going to work? I mean, criminals aren't going to say, oh, well, you know, the mayor said we can't have guns open carry. We're not going to do it anymore. I mean, it's the only people this, again, the only people this ever hurts are the law-abiding gun owners.
Well, the whole thing. So, you know, I've been to states where they have open carry and nobody freaks out about it. I notice it because I was a policeman for years, but I'm trying to remember which state I was driving when I drove out to California. It was either Colorado or Utah, one of those, where people are walking around with holsters like they used to in the old days. They just have a holster on and their guns there. And it's pretty, they accept it. No one even looks twice.
Right.
But I think in the city of St. Louis, there is so much gunplay with robberies and bad guys. And, you know, I don't know if you saw today in the news, they had so many cars broken into the city recently.
Right.
And the reason they're breaking into these cars is they're looking for guns.
Yeah. Well,
and this is just a problem that exacerbates itself. Now everybody's so afraid in the city that everyone's carrying guns in their cars. And then people break in and steal the guns out of the cars. I mean, this is just, it just escalates.
It just gets worse and worse. No, you're exactly right. And one of the things we were saying earlier, I mean, in case you don't know, the station moved. Okay, so if you visit us, I mean, I was joking, you don't have to wear your bulletproof vest anymore. Unless you want to, because, you know, mine's actually very fashionable. But, you know, it's gotten so dangerous downtown that, I mean, you shake your head. What is it going to take? Because you were talking about the situation the police officers are in, where, you know, they're called out for just doing their job. Why would anybody even want to be a police officer now? And what is it going to do to change that?
They are just trying to put, I guess, Band-Aids on the problem, but they send mixed messages to people. So this is something that's going across not only St. Louis City, but every big city. They're saying you cannot arrest your way out of crime, when I think that is a lie. You can arrest your way out of crime. You go in and you overwhelm the issue. If you remember, Mayor Giuliani in New York City did this, where
right.
he brought in a lot of police. They locked up people for minor issues just to say, hey, look, we're not tolerating this anymore. And whenever they spray painted something, they spray painted over it, or they cleaned it up, or they did whatever to make it look like a nice environment. But if you have a bad environment, it just chases away tourists, chases away people. So, I mean, I know what the city's trying to do, but until they back their policemen, I mean, who wants to approach somebody with an open carry gun when if you end up having to shoot them, they're going to be indicting you?
No, the whole situation itself is criminal. And I brought up on an earlier show, I mean, the last time I was in New York, they had, I mean, the police there are treated like royalty. Okay, I mean, they have gift shops where you can buy, you know, NYPD apparel and things like that. People respect them, and they're happy that they're there, and they're on, you know, almost every other corner. And I actually felt safer in New York than I do here in St. Louis. No, I don't. I actually did. Is it a branding thing? Is it something that where I know that, you know, with Kim Gardner, we're just letting the criminals out, which was an embarrassment. But what can we do? I mean, again, it's such a noble profession. We've got all this Rams money. We've got all this other stuff going on. Why can't we do what they've done in New York and other cities where, even in New York, where they're not really, I mean, that's a very liberal Democrat city, but you don't mess with the cops there. Why can't we do this? What would you do, or what should be done, in your opinion, to possibly do something like that here?
Well, I think you're going to have to start with the leaders. Tashara Jones sends the wrong message. Kim Gardner was a tear that pretty much destroyed police work in this city for,
right.
I don't know how many years that will come. I mean, she really set it back with her crazy exclusionary list. But then you have things out here in the county that it's so counterproductive. So like you saw the incident where the security guard shot a man and they got in a gun battle, and the security guard was wearing a vest. So when he got shot, he also shot the, I guess you would call him the perpetrator, and killed him. And they charged the security guard with murder. Now, that's out here in St. Louis County.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And, you know, just recently we had a guy who was a city sheriff, and he interrupted, or marshal sheriff, I forget which, but he interrupted a carjacking out in St. Louis County, shot the guy. And now he's been charged with murder.
It just infuriates me. And the thing I think you're going to see is you're going to see a lot more vigilantes out there. Because I got to tell you, I mean, there are people like myself that, you know, if you're going to mess with me or my family, you better be bulletproof. Because, I mean, I'm not going to put up with it. And I don't care what you do. And it's a shame that we have our law enforcement that has their hands tied that can't do that for us. I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, should there be some type of, you know, waiver, or some type of, should there be another, some law passed, or say, I mean, why is that not just like self-defense as any normal citizen would have?
So did you see the recent incident where the young man tries to snatch a baby out of the mother's arm?
Yes, I did. Yes. That person would not have knees if I came across
So the fight is on, and the father's fighting with him. But if I was armed with a gun and I saw that, I would shoot that man.
Oh, sure.
To protect my wife and my child.
Absolutely.
Now, if he shot that man, I guarantee you he would be charged with some type of homicide. I don't know what type, negligent or manslaughter or something. So we're given the right to protect ourselves, but then these overzealous prosecutors, and we see what these prosecutors are doing all across this country. I mean, look how arbitrary it is with Trump, how ridiculous it is.
Sure, yeah.
And that shows you how corrupt the justice system is. I have no faith in the justice system. So maybe we need to fix the justice system before we fix these police departments.
Well, absolutely, because it's a trickle-down effect, don't you think? I mean, why would a police officer want to work for a department where they weren't supported? Or even worse, they're going to get arrested themselves. It's absolutely ludicrous.
Exactly, and you're charging people who are defending themselves with murder. And we see so many incidents right now where we just had one out in, I think it was Clayton, where the victim comes out, they're breaking into his car, and he gets shot.
Right.
Now, I mean, we have to do something for the victims out here. And right now, there is nothing protecting the victims, whether you're the police trying to enforce it or people getting their cars broken into. I mean, and I think you are right. It will get back to vigilantism, where people take care of their business and they have to do it themselves. And they have no more faith in the justice system.
Well, no, it's like they say, well, it's going to be like the Wild West. I mean, in St. Charles, I remember there was a Quick Trip or a gas station. I don't know what the actual station name was, but it kept repeatedly getting robbed. They weren't getting any help. So they finally hired their own, private security with like AR-15s. And boy, I got to tell you, it stopped. It stopped. You know, is that what we have to do? Because that's sad. And you also have all these privatized police officers now in communities. Is that what we're going towards?
I believe so. That is the route to go because, I used to have when I was in the city, we had a place on 12th Street. It was a small gas station. They sold
liquor,
beer, cigarettes, and stuff like
right.
that. And so, but they had so many calls that the police department started to fine them, give them a fine. And so if they called the police, they were fined for too many calls. And so it became to the point where there was nothing they can do. There were beggars out in front hitting up all their customers. They were snatching stuff, and it's like, hey, we're sending the wrong message to these people. What they wanted them to do was hire their own security.
Right.
But we're sending the wrong message to these people. We're fining the victims. We're blaming the victims.
Yeah.
And so somehow we got to get it back where we protect these people.
And that's how it should be. That's common sense. I mean, why is it? Again, I we call the show, Right Mind, because, you hope that people have a right mind, but a lot of people just don't. I mean, there's no common sense anymore. It's absolutely ludicrous. Now, we have a new police chief in the city of St. Louis that I haven't heard too much about recently. What would you do, Gary? I say, all of a sudden somebody waves a wand or even better, votes you in or appointed you, and all of a sudden you got to be the commissioner. What would you do to help, solve some of these things?
I mean, the first thing you have to do is get rid of these crazy review boards and all this nonsense.
Now, what is that?
Just setting up these review boards, they got set up to go after the police.
Okay. Well, explain that. What exactly? They review their procedures or what their arrest and things like that?
I think any type of use of force, you can make a complaint.
If I'm doing something criminal and a police officer uses force to detain me or stop me, then that police officer is liable?
Yeah, most definitely with the complaints.
Well,
and
what idiots came up with this?
Well, someone could always make a complaint. But it would go to the Internal Affairs Unit, and they would review it. And then it would go to a citizens group, which was the Board of Police Commissioners. There is no citizens group anymore. It's the citizens who protect the police. But now they don't have a police board that is made up of citizens. It's made up of the city. Now, would you trust, at least in the city of St. Louis, would you trust any review in front of the city of St. Louis?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
That's the most corrupt group of people. Everything they do is based on politics.
Oh, it is. And that's the other thing, too. You've got these. How long has it been? And again, I don't want to get too partisan here in this particular episode. But how long is it? 100 years since we've had like a Republican leader in the city of St. Louis? Something like that?
I mean, I think it was around World War II.
Yeah.
I thought it was in the 40s.
Okay, so it's almost 100 years, but it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you seem to have this it just seems to recycle, don't you see? I mean, it seems to, nothing seems to get better. It seems to be getting worse. And you and I attend these meetings like the Center Right Coalition. And I don't know if you were at this particular meeting, but one of the a lady there that was running, I guess she was running for a representative. Her district was the Central West End and things like that. And she had people actually tell her, no, I'm going to just vote for the D on the ballot, meaning they're just going to vote for the Democrat.
Correct.
Without even knowing what the issues are, what this person stands for. And a lot of the times that representative with the D isn't doing a dang thing to even help them. I mean, I think that's part of the problem, don't you? I mean, people need to wake up and just quit voting for the D and realize they got to vote for something to clean up this mess.
You know, when I was growing up in St. Louis, there was at least some Republicans still kind of left. I mean, Badaracco was there. But the fights were always between the black Democrats and the white Democrats. That's how the fights always broke down. And so most voting was based upon race. And this is what you get. Now the fighting in St. Louis City isn't black and white. It's progressive and establishment.
Okay.
And so you've got the old establishment Democrats, and most of them pretty much got wiped out in the indictments with Lewis Reed and that whole group of aldermen.
Right,
so
exactly.
Those old time fights, the black and white in St. Louis City, I think that's over. But you got the progressives who come in, and these progressives, let's face it, they're anti-police.
Right. And they're all bought by people like Soros.
They defund the police.
Yeah.
They're not going to be supportive of anything the police want or anything the police can do. So I don't know. You know, we look at the police to fix things, and I just think it's beyond the police ability right now. The city of St. Louis is actually going in the opposite direction.
No. Yeah, you
we thought it's bottomed out. I don't think it has.
All right, my friend. Well, thank you for joining us. That's Gary Wiegert. But it's a total toilet. And that's why I'm so happy that we're not in a toilet anymore. We're in this nice, clean place. It looks like they're doing a lot of remodeling. Speaking of remodeling, I don't see Rick here. I guess maybe he's hiding or something. But you know what? If you have a home, because this is a nice big, you know, radio station, but I guess maybe Rick would do that. But if you have a home, especially around the holiday time, that needs a little bit of, you know, remodeling, or maybe, you know, Aunt Betty came over and broke your plumbing and electric, you know, do it with her curling iron or something, who knows what? You know who you got to call if you want any of that stuff fixed around the home? Who is it, Joey?
Rick Bernstein, B-E-R-N, Bernstein.
Bernstein.
Bernstein Remodelers.
Like I burned myself. That's right, the Bernstein Remodelers. I've known Rick for over 20 years. I've said that all the time. They do all kinds of different things. They remodel, they fix things, they move walls. But also, if you need anything fixed around the house, whether it's electrical or plumbing or you name it, they handle it. He works all over the St. Louis area. So if you hear this and you're, you know, not listening to the streaming version somewhere in you know, the North Pole, and you are in St. Louis, give him a call if you need any of this stuff done. He's available right now at 314-324-3024. That's 314-324-3024. And when we come back, we have the King who has some sad news. But it'll get happier. I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V and Mitch in the background. You're listening to The Right Mind Show. We'll be right back.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, King Kirby from DiscountCoffee.com explains why we never see him and Santa together at the same time.
Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL. And now a man who loves Thanksgiving so much that he has intentionally lost hundreds of hands of blackjack at casinos as a way to give back to the native people, Todd Showalter.
And we're back. I'm Todd Showalter along with my buddy Joey V. Mitch back there with his festive holiday decor doing something. And on the line right now, not with his regular stallions, but his sea stallions, is the king himself. King Kirby from Discount Coffee. .com. How's it going, King? What's going on in Florida today? All warm and cozy?
Hey, Todd, how you doing? I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving and ate plenty of turkey.
Well,
we had a feast. We had a feast in the kingdom. I am stuffed.
Really? Wow.
I love that turkey and dressing.
I think
I gained a pound or two.
Well, of course, it's that holiday season, but I bet you I know what you had after that big turkey dinner. I bet you had something from DiscountCoffee.com. What was it, like a cappuccino or a coffee? Or what'd you have to settle the stomach after that big meal?
I enjoyed the Barney's White Christmas Coffee. That's my favorite. And, you know, we had a Black Friday, just unbelievable deals, lowest prices all year, and we're extending the Black Friday deals, you know, through tonight and even tomorrow, Sunday. And then Monday is Cyber Monday.
That's right, so Cyber Monday. Yeah.
We got deals up on top of deals. And then if you're a Right Mind listener and you use the coupon code, what's the coupon code, Todd?
I'm just going to go out on a limb here, but I think it's Right Mind. If you say right, like the name of this show. Right Mind?
It is. Right Mind gets you an additional 15% off, plus as a bonus, with any coffee purchase, you get a free coffee meat pumpkin spice flavor, 50 tubs, single tubs. It's $11.97 value with any coffee purchase. So we got Black Friday, Cyber Monday, free pumpkin spice coffee meat, and Right Mind gets you an additional 15% off.
Well, that'll definitely put you in the holiday spirit, won't you? I mean, so as far as Christmas coming up here in the near future, I mean, do you got anything coming up on the holiday list that you're going to be offering that folks ought to check out at DiscountCoffee.com?
Well, one of the things that DiscountCoffee.com does is we ship gifts worldwide, including the military.
Okay.
So if you have any loved ones, you want to send a care package, their favorite hot chocolate, cappuccino, or coffee, get on board at DiscountCoffee.com. Deadline's coming up really soon, and if it's an FPO, APO, military address, we can get that refreshment to your loved one, no matter where they are in the world.
Well, that's wonderful. So even if you're in the military or you're not, I urge all of you guys out there on the Right Mind horizon to give discountcoffee.com a look. I'm sure you're going to be impressed. They have all kinds of cappuccinos, break room supplies, coffees, you name it. It's on discountcoffee.com. Order now. Put together your holiday list, some gifts for some of your friends and family out there. There's always good stuff for everybody out there. Now, King, I understand you're going on a bit of a hiatus here. Now, is this something we should know about? Are you going to be exploring the world here for the next few months?
Well, I got this buddy in the North Pole, and we work really close together. His name is Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And so we're going to take some R&R, but in the meantime, we're going to be really working hard to shed some of these pounds from all this turkey from Thanksgiving.
Right.
But the king could be knocking on your door, delivering your next coffee that you purchase from discountcoffee.com.
That sounds wonderful. Do you team up with Santa Claus by any chance? I mean, because you've got the big king garb and anything. I think that'd be a good look. You could be like the Milli Vanilli of, fictional, holiday characters. Have you thought about that?
Well, I think we're like third cousins or fourth cousins or something like that. So here at Discount Coffee, we still say Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year!
Wow, I think you just blew the speakers out. Well, Happy New Year to you too, King. Thanks for joining us, and tell the stallions hello or goodbye for us, okay?
Will do. Thanks.
All right. And if you have anything you want to buy at, for the holiday time, coffees or cappuccinos, break room supplies, check out discountcoffee.com. That's discountcoffee.com. cyberdave.com. Well, I've had a good time here on our post-Thanksgiving Day show as we get ready for the big Cyber Monday or whatever they want to call it. I know it's going to be fun. I'm going to be buying all my batteries and paper clips on Amazon, and I guess the relatives will be excited about that. Anything you want to add before we head off into the sunset?
Make sure you shop local, and by that I mean go to Todd's house. His address is clearly online, and you just go pick up something, just like trick-or-treating, but for Christmas.
Well, if you need any batteries or
cat
to
food,
use,
that was popular.
Cat food, and also kitty litter, because my cat doesn't use the kitty litter.
So or StudioTodd.com. There's a store on there.
StudioTodd.com. Yes, we have the new Cancel This t-shirt, so, cancel this if you want to, shove it in the liberal's face.
I've always loved the Toxically Feminine shirt. That is the greatest idea you've ever had. That's a good one.
I've got to tell you something. The Toxically Feminine shirt was not my idea. It was our beautiful Katie Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
It was her idea. I was wearing the Toxically Masculine shirt in the studio, and she said, wow, that's neat. I wish you had a Toxically Feminine shirt. And you know what? I said, that's not a bad idea. And I am not kidding you. I am not kidding you. It is our top seller at the Studio Todd store. Now, granted, I've only sold two, but it's still the top seller. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that was Katie's idea, Katie Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Katie.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, she wants a royalty or something, but I always make sure I'm out
this
of
this. This is it. I'll print off this podcast and pin that to the wall. There you go. You get an award.
There you go. All right. Well, I've had a good time. I hope you have, too. I hope everybody listening's had a good time. In the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter, along with my good buddy Joey V., Mitch back there making his nativity scene or something similar. You've been listening to The Right Mind Show, and like I say, if you don't have a right mind, you don't have a mind at all. Till next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. To find out about all things Todd, go to StudioTodd.com. We will see you next Saturday night at 5 p.m. right here at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL, and always streaming online at NewsTalkSTL.com.